Hello, gorgeous. Welcome to the Give Them Lala podcast. We had an intro and there was some technical difficulties. And once we sent them over to our producer, the file was like nowhere to be heard. So here's the alternative. I'm literally sitting in Ocean's Nursery giving you guys this intro. We have Jesse Metcalf on the podcast today, and I cannot be the only person that was obsessed with Desperate Housewives. I'm sure a lot of you guys were also obsessed. And you can also stream it now, so I'm sure that a lot of you, like myself, are going back and rewatching. It was like every Sunday night was Desperate Housewives and then Grey's Anatomy. It was just like what you did on Sundays. So we have him on the podcast today. We're going to pick his brain. I have a few questions for him. And we're going to skip Vander Talk today because I slacked. I did not watch last night's episode. But hopefully next week we can recap two episodes in one. I think that that would be a lot of fun. And I also really want to answer your guys' questions. So please remember to call in. Call into the podcast. That number is 866 Lala Pod. Again, 866 Lala Pod. I always love hearing from you guys, answering whatever questions you have. And it just makes me feel like we're in a more intimate setting. The whole reason I started this podcast was so that we all could feel this like connection and bond and we could get closer to each other. So please reach out to me. And without further ado, we're going to cut to a quick break and we will be right back with the heartthrob, Jesse Metcalf. Did you know today is a great day to warranty? Well, actually, every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with American Home Shield Warranty. I signed up with American Home Shield the moment I decided to buy my house. With an American Home Shield Warranty, unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or faulty water heater won't break the bank because coverage repairs and replacements are taken care of just like that. And not by me, my mom, or Easton. We wouldn't know the first thing to do if something stopped working in this house. I just contact American Home Shield when a covered item breaks, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. So having that sort of reassurance from American Home Shield is something to celebrate. When it comes to protecting your appliances and home systems, don't worry, be warranty. Visit ahs.com/GTL today to get 20% off any plan. That's ahs.com/GTL for 20% off any plan. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer. So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now. And anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part, zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold, and that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now, so get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code LALA at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/LALA and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off. We are back with our epic guest, Mr. Metcalf.
Oh, thank you. Jesse Metcalf. What an introduction.
I am epic.
Well, before you came on, we gave you a very, very warm welcome about your career and how great of a human you are and a friend to us.
Oh, wow. So you lied. Thank you.
I have to
ask
you.
It's all about appearances in Hollywood.
The number one question I have is, do you ever talk to Eva Longoria?
Wow. I run into Eva from time to time. We follow each other on social media, but we don't really talk.
Okay.
She's it's mom life.
Over there
with Eva right now.
Right.
And she seems like she's an amazing mom. And I mean, I'm so impressed and proud of all the things she's done civically, socially, politically.
You know, all of the
they
things.
Say actors shouldn't get involved with politics. And I tend to believe that.
Well,
that saying, but you know,
I think
she's done some amazing things.
I agree. I think politicians should be just that, not reality TV stars, not actresses.
Well, politicians suck. Yeah, so you know.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever they want to do, who cares? I don't listen to a thing they say.
Well, Jesse,
you just do your own thing.
So let me.
I'm just a pawn in the game.
You too.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
So let's just back up the tape a little bit here. Just tell us like early days of your career, like how you got into, you know, acting and then the big break. And
okay.
Because we've worked with you both, Lala and I,
okay,
in movies and different projects, but just kind of tell fans.
How far back you want me to go?
I don't know. Just how you got into acting, how it started, and then how you got here and your first big break.
Okay. Well, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life as a senior in high school. And I really didn't have a whole lot of direction, but I loved movies. My father took me to a lot of movies growing up when I was very young. A lot of inappropriate movies I shouldn't have gone to, like, you know, Basic Instinct when I was like 7 years old. Mom wasn't too happy about that one.
Wow. But that's a tough one.
Yeah, for 7 years. Exactly. But I had a passion for movies. I think I just loved the escapism of it and, you know, just getting into another world and into the characters, into the stories. And so I thought, hey, maybe I could go to NYU Film School. That shouldn't be too hard to get into.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, with no, you know, with nothing.
nothing really on my application
other than my good looks and an essay about The Basketball Diaries, which was one of my favorite movies.
Wow. Phenomenal movie. Lala, do you know who was in that?
No, I've never seen
it. You were 0 years old when that movie came out.
Marky Mark was in it.
Oh.
And Leonardo.
That was when he transitioned from Marky Mark to Mark Wahlberg.
And Leo DiCaprio.
People were like, whoa, this guy can act. Leo obviously crushed it.
Crushed it.
It was amazing.
Great movie.
You know, it's a movie about a New York poet who did a lot of drugs.
Addiction.
Yeah.
And you know, side note, and then we'll come back, but Eric Weinstein, who was E, who was his assistant, who now is his partner, met Mark on that movie as his coach for drug coaching. Like, you know, because he had been a heroin, former addict. So that's what
I would assume you were a pretty big fan of that movie as well.
Huge.
Yeah.
That movie was phenomenal.
It really was. So anyway, I managed to get into NYU by the skin of my teeth, not into Tisch. I got into a new program.
Not into the theater program or
no,
the film program.
Not into the theater program or the film program. The Gallatin School for people that didn't know what they wanted to do with their lives. Yeah.
They have a program for people that don't know?
Apparently, and it was called the Gallatin School. So I did a half a year, two semesters in the Gallatin School. Or I guess a semester. I did a semester in the Gallatin School. I had good grades, and I was able to transfer into Tisch, having already been accepted into NYU film and television, not a conservatory, not an acting program. I absolutely loved it. I mean,
did you have to send any sort of like audition tape to get in?
You're supposed to send any, you know, films you've done, short films you've created, which I had none. Yeah.
This is getting
better. You should be grateful that you got into any program at all.
Yeah, with your effort.
I mean,
if you're telling me
that you just submitted an essay
I had a 1380 on my SAT.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
I smoked a lot of pot in high school, and apparently I had brain cells to spare. Go figure.
Wait a second. You had a 1380 out of 1500? At 1600?
At 1600.
Oh, you're smart as fuck.
I wouldn't know. I never took an SAT. I don't even know what a good score would be.
Yeah. They don't even do SATs anymore. They do the ACTs.
I don't even know what a good score on that would be.
Moving on.
I have no idea.
You know what, Lala? The good news is you did okay.
I will say I did a movie with you. What was the name of it again? I forgot.
Me too.
Something.
The Hard Kill.
Hard Kill. And I've never seen a script like yours. There was so much dialogue that you had written as far as your character breakdown. And you're the reason I started doing that, actually. Like, going into that much depth. Because you let me look at yours.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? You know, like, I had little notes, but yours was like... what your character ate for breakfast that morning. And I I'll do that as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Lala.
Yeah.
Cool. Like a lot of backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Jesse's pretty method. I mean, I've been on sets with Jesse. He's pretty focused.
Yeah. So, but you can't be too method because then people don't want to work with you.
So then where are you from originally?
I grew up in Connecticut.
Connecticut. Okay. Yeah. So you go to college in New York.
Right.
And then when do you make your big move to Hollywood?
Okay, well, while I was in college, I was doing some male modeling.
Oh, you're a master.
Male modeling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, a little 17 magazine.
I think we ran into each other in some of those
castings. And I thought, hey, well, you know, maybe I can do some commercials.
Right.
Right. So they got me a theatrical agent. I went on a UPS commercial audition where I dressed up like a UPS delivery man, but I wasn't playing a UPS delivery man when I got there. I was just playing someone who received a package. So that totally didn't work.
Right.
And then they sent me out on an open casting call for the infamous daytime television show Passions, which I booked.
Wow.
So after my junior year in college, did 3 years, spent, you know, $90,000+ at that time, and I didn't even graduate. I dropped out, came to Los Angeles, and I've been acting ever since.
Wow.
Shit. Yeah.
That's a great story.
Thanks, when did my most favorite show ever that I grew up watching, and I thought you were the hottest thing ever? I think I was in the seventh grade.
Oh, wow.
When Desperate Housewives came out.
Okay, well, I did 5 years on Passions on daytime.
Okay.
Great training ground.
How many episodes a season would you do? Is it like 50, 60? Is it like every day? Like,
yes,
soap?
5 episodes a week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's like 500 episodes.
Yeah, so it was great training for memorizing lines, but you would pick up a lot of bad habits, you know, because you had to memorize so quickly that it wouldn't lend itself to, you know, developing your craft.
Right.
I don't think. But once I ultimately decided to make the jump and see if I could get something better, get on the prime time, you know, there was a lot of naysayers, a lot of people I worked with were like, what are you going to do? And I was like, you know, honestly, I don't care if I'm pumping gas next week. I need to do something different than this.
Wow. You know, so you left the show.
Yeah. It had just kind of run its course. And then I went through.
So Passions is like a soap opera?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And so, you were just over it.
I mean, I
5 years
just,
is
know,
a long
I,
run.
I had aspirations.
Okay.
So I did a whole pilot season, my very first full pilot season. It was coming towards the end of pilot season, and I hadn't gotten anything, you know? Right. So I was pretty stressed. I was, you know.
And where were you living at this point? Do you have one of those stories where it's like you lived in a shithole, you were on someone's couch?
No.
You were making money
at this point. I actually owned my first property. I owned a condo. In West Hollywood, it was like it was like Melrose Place in there. You know, it was like it faced into the pool, and everyone's apartments, you know, were around the pool. There were some unsavory characters that lived there. So you know, that was a good time. It was a good period in my life. And I had two test deals on the table by the end of this pilot season. One was for Veronica Mars.
Okay.
And one was for this unknown show that really not many people knew anything much about called Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
And the Desperate Housewives deal was on the table, and the Veronica Mars thing was like still in negotiation. So I went for the Desperate Housewives
the
test deal. And I ended up booking it. And it was actually a recast. You know, there was another actor playing the gardener, but they didn't like him opposite Eva. They didn't think that they had chemistry, and they recast it after they shot the pilot.
Wow. How many
episodes?
You and
Eva had mad chemistry.
We had good chemistry.
Yeah, did.
And
you played a high school student, right?
I did.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Where did you guys film?
we filmed at Universal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's fun.
So it was really cool.
Fun.
We had a whole block, a whole neighborhood.
Like set on the lot.
Whole set on
That's
the lot.
Cool.
It was very cool. It was very cool.
Did you get to see all the tram and the visitors?
Oh, yeah. The trams would always come by and wave. Yeah, and, you know.
They were just so happy to be on Wisteria Lane.
Exactly.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Wisteria Lane.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah,
a lot of plastic flowers and, you know, I mean.
Yes, it was like Stepford Wives.
Yeah.
It was
exactly.
The best.
Exactly.
And then
so yeah, I was totally surprised at the success of that show. I didn't anticipate that at all. At all.
No, I mean, how could you? You like took a leap of faith by leaving that show, Passions, right?
Yeah.
Is that still
That's
on?
That's right. No.
When did it end? After you left?
But it has a cult.
Like, Jesse's gone,
no,
so
it,
no,
it went for quite a few years after I left, but it has a cult following.
Does it?
I mean, people were huge fans of that show.
I mean,
it had a supernatural storyline.
Yeah.
It was out there.
So it wasn't like Days of Our Lives where people were being possessed by devils?
No, it was actually. My girlfriend was possessed on the show and I went to hell to save her.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't.
And I was I was battling demons in hell. Yeah.
Jesse, I would love to see that conversation between you and the director having these deep moments.
Oh, yeah.
What is it like meeting with a director on a soap? I mean, I know what it's like meeting with a director on a film. It's if you're shooting 5 days a week. And
there's not a lot of talk about performance. It's like if you get the words out of your mouth and they're intelligible, then they're moving on.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Because you do so much material each day. There's not a lot. Yeah, there's
you're
not a lot
of time. You're doing an episode a day,
right?
Around. Episode a day?
Full episode a
that's
day.
That's crazy.
Full hour-long episode
that's
a day.
I can't even imagine. That's nuts.
Dude, I think I can't memorize that. Like, how much dialogue do you think you had to memorize daily?
30 pages.
20
to 30 pages if you were a main character and had, you know, a big storyline.
Okay. You must have been fried by the end of every
totally
day.
Totally fried. But I had a young brain.
How old were you when you were doing this?
My early 20s.
Oh, early 20s.
Okay, but I have a question.
You're sharp then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You get a lot duller as you get older. I need my ginkgo biloba.
What the
probably
fuck
don't
is
know
that?
What that is.
It
was a thing. It was a thing that always advertised on The Price is Right, and it's supposed to, like, you know, help your brain. It's supposed to help your memory.
Okay.
Your older listeners, which I'm sure you have a few, will understand that reference.
We have some that are in their 50s.
Yes.
For
okay.
Sure.
Oh, perfect.
So how old are you? 40-something?
Let's not go there. Lala.
I think
no, I'm just
people
kidding.
Should wear their age with pride.
I do wear mine with pride. I'm 42 years young, about to turn 43 in
good
December.
Good for you.
Thank
you. Got a good head of hair on you.
Thank you.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
You're like a chia pet.
Yeah, there's nothing money can't buy.
Oh my gosh. Oh, we're going to cut to a short break and we will be right back with Jesse Metcalf. The weather is getting warmer. Summer is coming finally. And you know what that means? It's time to put all of the jackets and all the sweaters in the back of the closet and pull out all of your shorts and tees. And I know you all want some new looks for the warm summer sunshine, and you don't want to break the bank in the process. I get it. We want to ball on a budget. So do what I did and shop Quince. Now, I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking so chic year after year. Quince has premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at $30. You can find silk tops, 14-karat jewelry, and so much more. All Quince items are 50% to 80% less than many similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes all of those savings on to us. I did just get myself a fabulous cashmere tee in cream. It is so soft and yummy. It's probably just as soft as the Quince waffle towels that I got for Palm Springs. We absolutely love those towels. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Lala for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Lala to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Lala.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
All right, we are back with Jesse Metcalf, and we're talking about all things Jesse Metcalf, from his great hair to his career.
To his great career.
I just found out you did two movies with Randall back to back. I had no idea. What are they called?
They're called Fortress.
Fortress. Yeah, Fortress.
B-dubs, Bruce Willis.
Brucey. Yeah.
Brucey, yeah. Exactly. They're really fun movies, though. They're like the Indiana Jones kind of type movies. They're a little tongue-in-cheek, and they have a little bit of everything. You know, they have a little comedy, they have a little romance, and they have a lot of action. They're pretty cool. You know, they're kind of different. And apparently, from both of our directors, of one and two, I'm hearing that they came out quite well.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I know the one that... Most of the movies that Randall's made with Bruce Willis have always topped in either Netflix or on demand pretty high.
Yeah.
So is Fortress out yet?
Not yet. I think the first one's coming out in December. Am I right?
Yeah. Randall?
Yeah. Oh, around Christmas time. Yes. A Christmas release.
A Christmas Bruce Willis movie. You know how people like to say that Die Hard's a Christmas movie? Ever heard that?
No.
Yeah, like, what's your favorite Christmas movie? Die Hard.
Yeah.
Die Hard.
Why? Because it came out around Christmas time?
Because, the story takes place during Christmas.
I'm going to be honest, never seen it.
Yeah. Well, it's a classic.
There's a lot of classics that I haven't seen. Apparently, the other one, what is it, Basketball Diaries that we just spoke about?
Yes.
All right. I dig it. Who plays your love interest in Fortress? Or is it someone else that has a love interest?
I have a love interest. Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kelly, she was great.
An old friend of Randall's, and she's amazing in the movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very nice. Where did you shoot these movies?
Puerto Rico. It's becoming a very popular place to shoot. Maybe you can speak to that, Randall.
It is so busy now that I can't even get movies in there. Like, we just shot in Alabama because we can't get movies into Puerto Rico. So my next movie in Puerto Rico is not till March. Because it's too busy.
Wow.
Yeah. We started that whole
which I'm sure is great for the economy.
Oh, they're so busy. I mean, it's great for the whole, yes, it's great for everything. But I love Puerto Rico. I mean, it's a great place to make movies. It's just there's only so many crew there. So whoever gets in, you know, kind of they can only handle so much.
But do you think as they start filming more movies there that more people will move there as far as production goes so that they're
I don't know about that.
Because every time I've filmed a movie there, it's kind of a shit show.
Well, you know, I actually was impressed by the Puerto Rican crews. I thought they were really good.
Yeah. I agree.
They weren't hard workers. Yeah. They're incredible. Everyone that works is hardworking. Yeah. Just on most movies that I've done.
Not necessarily a lot of experience.
But right. And I'm a Virgo, so I like things to be very timely and organized.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
I like that as well. You know, as an actor that's been in the industry for 22 years.
I'll say on behalf of Puerto Rico, I'll say that the crews are very experienced. They're limited, though. There's only so many of them. So once a movie starts, if you come in after the fact, you kind of have to bring a lot of people in. So just because there's not enough.
I think it was less about the crew and more about maybe the director or other people.
Oh, hold on. That was we don't drop the tea, but I think she spilled the tea or he dropped it or something. So the director you felt you didn't have the connection with.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That can happen.
Yeah.
That
you tell
happen.
Me
it's
we're
fine.
Working on pages, you know, Y through Z, and then you come in and you're like, no, I told you A and B today, and it's like, you're a fucking moron.
Okay. And moving on. Jesse, would you like to share your stories with us about some of your directors?
Well, I think, you know, when you're talking about the top of the food chain, you know, and on a film, you know, director really is the captain of the ship, you know, and he likes to
I would
generally
think so. I
generally
would think
maintain that persona.
I want to make it clear I didn't direct either of your movies with either of you in them.
Sometimes you have to be sensitive to that, you know?
See, I feel like as the actor, someone they need to be sensitive to me.
Everyone has a, you know, perspective. Yeah.
I'm gonna switch subjects in about a second. I just want to say, Jesse, during your movie, with your sensitivity to directors, I did receive a lot of calls from you on one particular film.
That's come full circle.
No, you yeah. guys
wonderfully.
You guys made up, and yeah. I think that's amazing. I also think sometimes, like Lala said, circumstance and just it might be that film or whatever things happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and it's very hot. Very hot and humid in Puerto Rico. Tensions can run high. But if you're passionate about what you're doing and you bring that passion to the project, sometimes it can get a little fiery on set.
Yeah.
You know, it's important to be able to work.
A lot of egos on a set.
It's important to be able to work through these things on a set. Because at the end of the day, we're a team and it's a collaborative art form.
So
we can't forget that.
No, I fully agree. And at the end of the day, everyone's intent is to do the same thing, which is create a great film. So absolutely. I respect that. I actually remember when you were going toes with whoever you were going toes with.
Going toes.
Everyone just needs to calm down.
Oh, yeah. I used to say it a lot when I was getting those calls. I was like, dude, what do I? She's like, everyone just needs to settle down in Puerto Rico.
Absolutely.
But just tell us, because you don't, you know, in terms of like, what is the perfect project that you'd like to see yourself do over the next few years? Like what director, what kind of genre, is there anything you want to challenge yourself with? Or is it just...
Okay, my favorite genre is gangster films.
Really?
Yeah, I would love to do, a mob movie. Yeah. Where I was maybe the black sheep of an Italian mafia family that had a drug problem and maybe a gambling problem. Because of my gambling problem, I get in debt to a rival family. And in order to not get killed, I have to inform on my own family.
Wow.
Yeah. I just came up with that
on
the spot.
That's a great pitch.
Should we develop that?
Yeah, we should. Okay, I actually like it. All right.
Cool.
By the way, if anybody tries to steal that, Jesse did. We're copywriting it right now.
Absolutely. So we have it. We have it on record.
Okay.
We'll find you.
Yeah. No, I like that.
Okay, cool.
That's interesting. Okay, it sounds like a little like Godfather, but we'll modify it to contemporary times.
For sure.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us the best, the most exciting moment of Desperate Housewives. That's what I want to ask you. Like, what was the best episode or the best moment you can remember?
The most exciting moment for me was winning a SAG award.
Oh, that's huge. That's huge.
Ensemble comedy cast.
Wow. Yeah.
So that was an unbelievable moment. You know, we were all up on stage at the SAG Awards.
That's big.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Where do you keep your SAG Award right now?
Yeah, where is that SAG Award?
On the back of the toilet in the guest room.
Why?
No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's in the living room.
It's in the living room. Featured prominently in my living room, obviously.
Okay. I mean, that's a gigantic.
I was going to say that needs to be removed and placed elsewhere.
Can I tell you a funny story about the SAG Awards?
Sure.
I've said it on the podcast, but I'm going to say it real quick in a Cliff Note version. Lala and I went to the SAG Awards for The Irishman. I wanted to say hello to Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep was sitting at the table next to us. As she got up and started moving, I stood up. It's the only person I, fangirled about.
She couldn't get away from Randall fast enough.
Okay. You didn't?
Stop.
You don't, okay, you,
no, she, literally.
No, no, that's not what she said. She said, can you give me 1 second? I'll be right back.
Yeah.
And then
proceeded when she came back to, instead of take that route, go all the way around
to the others, around the table to dodge me. And but here is the kicker that I have to live with to this day. Fast forward the entire night, every time they do a shot of Meryl Streep and Reese Witherspoon, the table next to us, who is in the eye line? Lala Kent. So all of the photos are Meryl Streep and Lala Kent without Lala Kent ever asking for a photo. And I got dissed.
I don't care about famous people that much.
Neither do I. But I mean, if it's an actor that I really admire, I think it's cool to be able to meet the person. But I'm not going to be like falling all over myself.
And I'm definitely not asking for a picture either. Like, no. What am I going to do with it?
Same.
What am I going to do with
I've never asked anyone for a picture in my life.
Never.
Well, I'll take a picture with you.
I have too many pictures with you.
That's true. But I honestly, no. But, you know, Meryl Streep's just one of those actors that I looked up to since I was a kid, and she's the greatest ever. So it was like this weird moment that she was walking, and I was like, I got to do it. But it didn't work out. So I'm not going to ask.
Best line is, I'll be right back.
And by the way, she doesn't. Thanks, Law. Thanks for that. No, and by the way, I asked Law. I said, no, she was being nice. She wanted to go talk to Marty, and then she's going to come back. And she goes, she ain't coming back. And that, like, that the weight.
This is called avoiding you like you're the plague.
Thank you.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Unbelievable. You know what, man? You were there.
I was a table over.
That is awesome.
I was a table over.
That's a huge
accomplishment. And no one would have even known. It looked like I was there solo. Just kicking it by Meryl Streep.
I can't even believe I didn't get a shot. She gets all these shots. All I wanted was a picture. I could have taken the picture off the off the screen and then blown it up and put it in my office.
Too funny.
Well, this has been a fun podcast.
Yes.
Yes, it has.
I can't wait to see Fortress.
Never a dull moment with you two.
We try to keep it fun and keep it classy.
It classy.
Keep it that way.
I think we kept it pretty classy.
I think we,
you know, maybe, you know, a couple off color comments from you, Lala, but I mean, you know, you gotta be you.
I will never deny them, Lala.
Keep it real before classy. Yeah. Keep it authentic and classy.
Yeah.
You know, because there's not enough authentic people out here.
No, there's not. There's actually
Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know what I love about podcasts with friends? It's fun.
For sure.
It's really fun. Jesse, I want to tell you something. You're a good friend to me. You're a good friend to us. And I want to thank you. And you're an incredible actor. And we thank you for coming on and being with us.
Always. My pleasure.
Thanks, Metcalf.
Thank you
guys so much for listening to another episode of the Give Them Lala with Randall podcast. We will catch you next week.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.